I'm Kevin O'Coin.
And I'm Brian Ackley, and this is Life in the Rough, the podcast.
Episode 44.
Woo! Happy to be back.
44, man.
Happy to be back. Another week. Crushing it, dude.
Oh, yeah. We've been grinding it out. We're almost at a full year's worth of episodes, Brian.
Dude, I'll tell you, from the podcasts that I listen to, and I'd like to think that I listen to... I listen to at least a half dozen podcasts. And
you're a podcast guy.
I like listening to podcasts. You know, I do a lot of work outside. If I'm at the, you know, I'm outside hitting balls, I'll listen to just, you know, something to keep my mind off of how shitty of a golfer I really am. So I just like to hear any sort of outside noise. And I know we've touched on this before, but I've definitely noticed in weeks that these podcasts that I listen to, whether it's the Entourage, Victory, the podcast, I'm a huge fan of that. I find it entertaining. If they don't put out an episode in a week, like, I'm sorry, I really don't think very highly of that. Like, not only do you have like a Tesla and a platform to do this on, but you've got people wanting to hear it and you're just not doing it. It takes a half hour. I think we owe something to our fans and the dedicated listeners. So we need to put out some content every week, and we owe it to ourselves, dude, because this was something that, you know, we thought up of. We really put some blood, sweat, and tears into, more tears than blood. But, you know, so I feel
I don't know, man. I'm bleeding.
You bleeding? Yeah, he's bleeding.
I'm bleeding. Fuck yeah, dude. Honestly, it's a fucking awesome. I enjoy just sitting down and chatting with you for an hour each week and fucking getting slammed.
Dude, absolutely. Everyone that I get paired up with now, they either mention the hat, the logo stands out. The logo really pops. And you know, we just constantly, it's a topic, you know, people are like, wow, Life in the Rough. What is that? So whether I'm playing golf or, and we're going to get to the charity golf tournament, later in the episode, but that's another example. You walk in, looking as good as you do, wearing some Life in the Rough logo merch, people are going to ask about it. The only problem was I didn't have enough on hand. I had about a dozen polos and half a dozen shirts, but everyone wanted the hats. I sold out of hats. And
the hats are head turners.
The hats are head turners. Woo! God, what a way to word it. So true. But the following is growing constantly. It's just exciting. Like you said, dude, we're 44 episodes. Now we've put out a little bit more than, I mean, over this many weeks, it would still be like a 1.1 or 1.0 something.
Yeah.
But like we've put out two episodes in a couple of different weeks, but I still don't believe we've missed a single week since we started doing this.
No, I'm fairly confident that we have not.
Now I'm excited to see how the off season goes. Certainly the golf will be much more limited going forward. I don't know what my weekend's like. We're taking some maternity photos on Sunday, some little bit, you know, baby photos Sunday. And then, Saturday I'm in a golf, in a scramble. The weather looks horrible, but, it's set up for a scramble. So outside of that, with how early it gets dark out, I might be able to get out Friday for a little bit, but I don't know if this weekend's going to be in the cards for me, which is very unfortunate, but that is the time of year we're getting to. I don't think it'll be a problem for us. We have no problem talking about golf all the time.
No, dude, I'm going to play golf Saturday and Sunday every weekend until the weather and temperature does not allow it anymore. It's within reason. I mean, I have a couple things coming up. I have a wedding in 2 weekends, I got stuff like that that are going to probably hinder me a little bit. But anytime I'm able to get out on a weekend, because like we discussed last week, we're not getting out after work these days.
No.
I'll be getting out. I'm going to be trying to get content for as long as I possibly can. However, like what you said, in the off season, in the Northeast, we're not playing golf in January.
It could happen. February, I mean,
maybe there's a thaw.
Yeah. And it really is those few and far between days, right? You might get one day in February, one day in January, where it's 45 degrees and sunny. And the only reason you are out there is because every other day it's 15 degrees and snowy. So you're like, holy shit, it is so nice outside. And yeah, other people
wearing shorts.
Yeah, my brother would be. He's a shorts as soon as he can type of guy. I myself would be bundled up. I would have layers. There would be, I don't own long underwear, but I got my long johns under my long johns. Like, I would be bundled up out there, bro.
Yeah. I feel you, man.
You got to keep your legs warm. Got to keep your head warm. Got to keep your hands warm. I'm not a two glove love kind of guy. I don't love wearing two gloves on the course. I do own winter gloves for that reason, but I would much rather put my hands into my pockets and my nice long life in the rough zip up and keep my hands warm that way in between shots, as opposed to taking off and putting on gloves, because that just doesn't feel natural for me.
Yeah. I mean, I've had, they sell, like, they're kind of like winter golf gloves. Like, they're a little bit thicker.
Yeah, that's,
and if you just keep those on, if you don't have to take them off at all.
I know, but it's 100% mental. Like, it's just having a glove on my other hand feels weird to me. I think I'd rather rock the, like, what you see Victor Hovland wearing. Like, the guy gets cold. He'll throw his hands into his little, like, what the quarterback's got, little hand warmer, little fanny pack hand warmer on the front. I think that might be my style this winter. I 100% do not think it will be my style this winter, but I think it's an option.
That's not a bad idea. They sell those mittens. Have you seen those, like, big mittens that they sell? That you always see the guys wearing on tour.
Those are a little extreme. My concern with those is I feel like your hands warm up so much, and then you put them out into the extreme temperature, you're just gonna, like, shock yourself. If you've got them tucked in by your belly a little bit, there might be a little cross breeze that gets through. Keep you honest.
Okay.
I don't know.
Solid analysis from you, Brian. Solid analysis. I appreciate that.
Not sure how we ended up there, but. I did get, I guess going forward, we'll have to deal with the limited golf we get in, and we'll figure it out. But,
well, actually, I'm doing a little Brian Ackley action this off season. And tomorrow's gonna be my first day of this, but I'm going to be doing an indoor golf league.
Wow. All right. So, oh my God, I really wish we didn't have so much to talk about. I don't care, guys. This is gonna be a long episode. All right. So, a couple things. How long does the season go?
Let me just tell you about it, because it's a way better situation than what your thing was. Like, you just bought into your league, and then you had to, like, come every week kind of thing, right?
Yes.
You pay up front.
But I mean, it was only like 100. No, you pay weekly up front, but you, like, put a down payment down for, like, skins.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's placed like 3 miles up the road. It's like a 5-minute drive, and they run it every week. I think it's Thursdays. And then once they get more into the winter, they do it Wednesday and Thursday. And you just come, like, whatever weeks you can. Like, you don't pay up front.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's like $30 each time you go. And it's perfect. So I was,
you win.
I'm like, all right, that's perfect. Like, days that Julia's working and not getting home till late at night, I'll just go do that.
My only thing with that is, and it's kind of the opposite of the schedule that I had, if you're going to virtual golf at 8 o'clock at night next Tuesday, and we get one of those freak days, it won't be light out, but I feel weird going into a simulator if it's like 65 degrees out. I had the bad experience of, like, on the tail end of our season, and this was super, super tail end. I want to say it was only like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But we're walking in to the simulator and it's fucking beautiful out. And I'm like, regular golf. Right. But in that sense, I would only just, I guess, shorten the season, because we didn't start, I don't think, till January. So, like, I would do, like, something from, like, maybe even December to March or January to March. Or, like, I don't take my time in April. I've got a podcast. I'm not sure if you've seen my LinkedIn or Instagram, but it's out there.
I agree. I actually, full honesty, I do not know how long this league runs, but I like that it's flexible. It runs as long or as short as I would like it to. And I can go whenever week I want, or if I'm not there, like, you don't have to worry about finding a sub. He says they do, like, every week they do like $5 skins. Last week was actually the first week. I didn't realize that. I probably wouldn't have played last week anyway, but they send out an email like the following week to be like, oh, hey, who's coming? And then they give the results of the prior week. And the guy that won got a $30 credit. So it's like, if you win a week, like you're playing for free the next week kind of thing. That's, I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, as the listeners remember, I won my money back in the league that I was in.
Hell yeah.
I certainly went to show up. Are the Pats going to join you in the fantasy league, the virtual league?
I've talked to one of the Pats about it. I actually talked to him about it today. I like literally just emailed this guy today saying I was going to play. And he said that he might be interested, but I told him I'd give my review after tomorrow night. Because I kind of want to, scope out the lay of the land. Like, for all I know, I'm only going to go once and it's going to suck and I'm not going to go back. I don't think that's going to happen because, like, I got to swing the club too much, you know?
Right. And, like, 5 years ago, I think there was a big risk when you went to a place and it could just be completely inaccurate. Nowadays, I find it hard to believe that any golf simulator that's staying in business has crummy software. I mean, you just have to keep up with your competition. And I'm not saying that they buy these, they probably lease them or whatnot, but you have to have the relative top of the line technology. You can't have that system where you hit it and then 7 seconds later you look on another monitor and then you see the ball flight like it's Topgolf or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So like I think it'll be a good experience. It's actually funny, when I was looking for simulators in the area, the first hit on Google, there's a store that sells simulators. Like, you can't go play there, they sell simulators. And I was like, holy shit, I hope I'm doing it at some point soon so I can go buy one of these motherfuckers.
Oh man, I've looked into them. It's a huge,
they're so expensive.
I got like 10 million shares of Shibu, and hopefully that I don't even know if I said it right, but I'm on the fucking pipe dream that everybody else is. So if that thing hits, there it is. HGTV. Me and Courtney are going to be sitting down there. They're going to be like, sir, what are your must-haves? And I'll be like, a golf simulator room.
Hell yeah. And that's the only thing I need.
I'd be looking so good, though, on HGTV with the Life in the Rough hat and polo on. Like, it would be great.
Like, you're looking at garages. You're like, that's a 3-car garage. I'm like, no, that's a 3-bay simulator business right there. What are you talking about?
Yep, with a loft.
The bar's over there in the corner. Yeah,
for sure. I don't want to get into this much, but I saw it earlier today. This girl, a sophomore in high school, shot a 57. Dude, you see that?
Yeah.
Mary Pate or Macy Tate or
something. Dude,
damn. There's that many circles when I cut my grass. That's the only time I see that many circles. Mm-hmm. And I have a circular yard, people. That's why that joke landed. But other thing, quick shout out. I have to say before I get into my round, Eddie Freeman, friend of the podcast, he took me out to Black Hall, where he's a member at, earlier this year. Treated me to a round with him and his buddies at their private course. Gets an albatross the other day.
No way.
Driver 3-wood on a par 5, just dunk.
Damn, that's so sick.
Congratulations, Eddie. That's fucking awesome. He still doesn't have an ace. It's going to come, man. It's going to come. And I'd say that an albatross is more difficult, hands down, more difficult than an ace, even though I don't have either. But I think it's definitely something that you'll be able to say that more than other people will be able to say.
Hell yeah. It's more valuable, too, at the end of the day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I mean, you just went 3-under on a hole instead of 2-under on a hole.
Okay. What did he end up shooting? Did he tell you what he shot?
No, but he's a good golfer. I mean, he's probably like a 6-7 handicap.
Oh, nice.
He probably kept it real low.
Hell yeah.
But so I got out Friday for a quick 9, and then I played Saturday, and then we had the tournament on Sunday. So I played Gilead on Friday, and played with Greg and Greg. We'll call them the Pat and Pats of New England, Connecticut. New England.
Isn't it great when you get paired up with two people that have the same name?
Bro, it's so easy because it's just, no matter what.
Father, son.
You could like, sometimes I'll write down like Greg, blue shirt, Pat, red shirt.
Oh.
But it, Greg and Greg, no matter what. Good shot, Greg. Great.
There you
shot,
go, G.
Greg.
Just start calling both of them G.
Well,
that a boy G.
Yeah, there was a little bit of age difference. I don't know if they would have. I don't know if they would have felt that. I mean, they brought up during the round, like, what do you think about music on the course? I have no issue. Just certain things. They're gonna be listening. This is not me talking shit. They were a blast. Bro, they brought limoncello on the golf course.
What?
Limoncello.
Why, of all the things to bring? Greg and Greg, I hope you're listening, but why?
Father-son situation. Greg, okay. Daddy Greg makes it all year round. And I said, you know, that's interesting because I've only really had it around Christmas time, like around the holidays. I feel like it's the only time you ever have it. He's like, no, I make this year round. And I was like, wow, blacking out is fun in that family, huh? But delicious limoncello tops off to him. So this round, I was marrying a 39. So I was really hoping to go out and play well. And I shot a 42. So I shot six over. I didn't play bad.
Okay.
But I went bogey, double bogey, bogey, bogey. I'm five over after four holes. So yeah. I was catching bad breaks. So I went par, bogey with a three putt. Shouldn't happen.
Nope.
And then I finished par. So I had four pars, end up with a 42. Greg and Greg were awesome. Limoncello was delicious. But I had to get back out on Saturday. Had to get back out Saturday. Which I was playing with Mike and Joel. Quick side note. I have to tell you something that's crazy. Joel had told me that his father-in-law, he was a member at Weathersfield Country Club. God rest his soul. He's no longer with us anymore. He shot his age or better over 600 times. Most of them were rounds in the 70s. Some of them were rounds in the 60s. How fucking crazy is that?
That is wild, dude.
That I feel like that's a professional stat. Like, that'd be like a scratch golfer would be able to do something.
I bet there are a ton of ex-professional golfers that have not done that many times. Because, think about, getting... shooting under par at the age of 72 just sounds so far-fetched, and he did it so many fucking times, you know?
It was when he told me that, I had to stop him on the next hole to get more information about this. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So I was like, so he shot a 65 at 65. He's like, oh yeah, you know, 66 is at 66. It's a ball straight, makes putts. And I was like, well, it'd be nice if we could all do that, Joel, but it's not that easy.
Jesus fucking Christ. Good for him.
So first hole, and I've got great vibes coming up to the course. I hit about two dozen balls into my net in the backyard before going to the course, swung the whip stick a couple times in the parking lot, got the back a little bit looser from the 13 minute drive over to the course. And, drain a couple putts on the practice green, and then it stopped. And then all good feelings stopped. Because what had happened was I had teed the ball up and I fucking pushed it. First hole in Gilead, it's dog leg right. If you go right, you're in someone's backyard, 100%.
Yeah.
And I tee up the ball. I didn't hit it like I should have hit it. And the second it went off the face of the club, I hear him like, oh, good ball. I was like, yeah, it's about to move 100 yards to the right. That's not going to be a good ball. Out of bounds, hitting three off the tee, end up with a triple bogey on the hole.
Good start.
Great start.
How's your mental? So you're walking to the next tee box. How do you feel? What's your mindset here?
I crushed a White Claw.
Okay.
An entire White Claw.
Okay.
And then I took a couple deep breaths.
Okay.
And opened another White Claw.
All right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't then go chug this second White Claw, but I opened it, had a sip, went to the tee, and we're at a par three. It's time to regroup, buddy. It's time to regroup.
Straightforward par three too.
Very straightforward. 150 yards. Nothing to it. And
yeah,
unless unless you like double bogey it like I did the day before. I didn't do that this time, but I'm just saying it can not be straightforward if you pull it directly left.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or hard draw. Now, so the second hole, I hit the green, two putt par. Third hole par, fourth hole par, fifth hole par, sixth hole par, seventh hole bogey, eighth hole par, ninth hole par. So I ended up with seven pars on the front nine and shot four over. I mean, cool, but like, fuck that first hole. And if I was a ball motherfucker, I would have shot a 38. But I can't do it, Kev. I can't do it.
No, well, once you...
They don't exist.
Once you're logging your scores, like your legit scores, like what's the point in doing that? You're only going to
make your handicap
over.
Better? I mean, no, that's why so many do it.
Right. Like, if you want to... Like, I like to see my handicap come down, but like, it doesn't mean shit if I know what's artificially coming down. You know what I mean? It's only going to fuck you over when you play a match against somebody. So I'm very pro... no breakfast ball. I was actually having this conversation with one of my buddies the other day. You can't take, like, if you're logging your scores legit, you can't be taking shit like that.
I'm not coming from the side of, I wish I could have taken a breakfast ball. It's just like, you always are getting told that by somebody else. Like, oh, go ahead and take a breakfast ball. And you're like,
right.
I'm going to hit another, but I'm not gonna like go down that path with you.
And yeah, like I have to.
We're not sharing my score. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And granted, too, the like people telling you, "Oh, take a breakfast ball," they probably just don't have a handicap, too. You know, like it's. I feel like once you like do get a handicap, you almost start playing like a little bit more legit kind of thing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. No, for sure. And honestly, some people are out there just to have fun.
Right, which I'm full proponent of. And like, dude, there's times that I go out and have fun. I just don't log my score.
Yeah, so turned with a 40. I mean, love that. Turned with a 40 and then nothing went right. I only had one par on the back. I had 2 3 putts, a lost ball, 2 double bogeys. To finish, last hole, par 4, about 350 yards. Very straightforward. I pipe my drive, piped it. I'm only like 90 yards from the green. I skull it over the green, skull it. And then I end up with a triple bogey because like behind that green is another hole. It's blocked by the tree. So my next shot didn't even make it up. My next shot had to get under a tree to get to the green, which rolled away. It was a nightmare. So I ended up with a triple bogey. I shot a 12 over 48 on the back after shooting a 4 over 40 on the front. So I shot an 88, which I mean, don't get me wrong, I, like whatever, but after shooting a 40 on the front with 7 pars, having eight total pars on the day is not what you want to walk away with.
Because you were playing well. Did something fall apart, or was it just like kind of like a combination of everything?
No, it was just, I mean, I wasn't hitting the greens, and then I had 2 3 putts. I had a drop. So let's take out 1 for the drop, 2 more for the 3 putts. That's 3. The triple, let's give me a bogey at max. I mean, there's 5 strokes that should have been off that card. And then we're in 83, and it's a completely different conversation because I'm shooting under my handicap.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I think I'm at like a 12-2, 12-3, something like that now. I'd gotten to, I think it was just under an 11, not under an 11, under 12. But then I logged an 88 to cancel out an 80. So that's never going to help you. But
I mean, hey, you said you were trying to get to single digits. You have a few more weeks, man. You could log some scores and get that down. Log a few good scores.
For sure. And the way I've been swinging the club, I mean, take away from the back nine that I, just talked about. I mean, when we played in the tournament on Sunday, I felt comfortable with every single shot that I hit except one. And it was a shot that none of us really felt comfortable with. And that the chip into that par 5, and I was like, no, yeah. I said, we need a mulligan, but I'm not fucking taking it. And it was his whole argument Well, what are we doing? We need a mulligan. And me as the captain are saying that one of you fuckers needs to take it. And
yeah. None of us wanted to take it. And no, John was just like, I'll do it.
And it worked.
Like, okay. Yeah. We all fucked. We had like 50 yards into the pin. All of us fucked up. We didn't even have a ball on the green.
Oh, we did, but it was like 40, 50 feet above the pin. But it was not, it was a perfect shot for some, not for me.
No,
that wasn't that one. I didn't have that one in the bag. But so, yeah, I was able to get in 27 holes, some practice before we got out Sunday. I was ready. I was fired up for the tournament. So let's hear about your rounds going into championship weekend, we'll call it, or loser weekend or whatever.
I just played Saturday morning. I played 18 with the Pats. And I was like, I got to, I almost didn't play Saturday. And I was like, I got to get out and play before the scramble. Like, I got to be loose. I got to be feeling good about my game. Like, this time of year, like, I'm not even swinging a club Monday through Friday, really. So, like, when Saturday comes, I feel like it's very far away, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I had, this is the most, like, all over the place round of golf you've ever seen. So, Town of Colony, red to green, par five is one. I hit the fairway, go for it in two, push it right, have to chip over a bunker, miss the green, get up and down, I make par. Two, I put my drive OB, three off the tee, end up with a double bogey. Three, I hit the fairway, miss the green, do not get up and down, bogey. Four, shorter par three, like 130, hit a good shot to like 12 feet, make the putt for birdie.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. So I have a par, a double, a bogey, and a birdie through the first four holes. See, just extremely inconsistent.
All over the course.
Yeah. I then go three straight pars on a par five, a par three, and a par four. Then I get to eight and I push my drive. I hit this like topped drive that went, it just came out super low and slicing. I had to punch out into the fairway, hit the branches. So I'm kind of blocked out, but I still have a shot. Skull fuck my wedge to the green and I go over the green.
Oof.
And when you get over this green, it's just a straight like 10 foot egress down to dirt and the cart path and a bunch of trees. Nice. So I am 30 feet past the green and about 10 to 15 feet below it. Cause it's just hard pan rolled forever. End up making a quad.
Nice.
So that felt really fucking good. I missed like a 3 foot putt at the end of the hole for triple and just made a fucking quad. It was so stupid. And then I bogeyed nine. So I'm seven over through nine, shot a 43, but as logged in my handicap, it was really like a 41 on the front. Because I max double bogey.
Right.
So I go to 10. I hit the fairway, hit a sick approach shot to like 8 feet and have like a downhill sweeper that I make for birdie. I was actually like all of this stuff considered in me just saying I missed a 3 foot putt. I was putting very well. Like I had probably had four putts over 20 feet on the front nine that like lipped out.
Wow.
And like, they were like, they lipped out and went 2 inches from the hole. It wasn't like they were like speeding past it kind of thing.
You're feeling good about that.
Yeah. So I birdie 10. I then par 11. 12 is a par three with a huge force carry. I put it in the shit. I have to go to the drop zone, make double. 13, I pull my drive, have to punch out, make bogey. Par. I double 16. It was another bad drive and a bad chip. So I make a double. There you go. I bogey 17 because I missed the green on this par three. That's like uphill 200 yards. It's a tough hole. And then I hit the fairway. I fucking piped my hybrid off the tee, hit the middle of the fairway, hit a good approach shot to like 25 feet. And I made that putt for birdie.
Yeah.
So I had three birdies, three doubles and a quad in this round. It was just like such a weird round.
Damn. So, I mean, overall, it probably wasn't that bad. You probably would have shoot.
I shot an 83.
Yeah, a couple over your handicap. Yeah, not bad at all, dude.
No, I shot an 83, and it's really like it logged as an 81 because that quad, it took two strokes.
Right, That's what I meant. What you logged is, you know, what, 3-4 shots over your handicap.
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
Not bad just considering the chaos.
No, it's just like I couldn't get into a groove. Like I didn't feel good all day, but I had those few birdies that kind of like salvaged my round. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of a weird round, but I don't know. I think I might've been too focused on the Curry Classic on this particular day. That's all I could think about.
It's all I was thinking about all week. We were told, and you know, rightfully so, there were that ringer. They had some ringers in this tournament. The course was tough. I mean, it played pretty tough. I thought we had some pretty difficult greens. I thought it was a quirky course. I didn't think it was overly difficult, but I did think that the greens were difficult. I'm gonna upload in case any of you haven't played it. It's out in Feeding Hills, is that where it is?
Yeah, I think Feeding Hills.
Yeah,
is
Feeding Hills, like
part of another town or something up there.
It's probably right next to Westfield.
Yeah, it is. I get off the Westfield exit.
Yep. So one of the holes, it has like a two-tiered green that's got to be at least like 70 yards long. Like it's got to be at least 70 yards long. We're gonna upload that. So Sunday morning, me and Jack pull up to the course. We're excited. Kev was already there. Kev was out there about a half hour before us putting. And that doesn't surprise me. This guy is always on time. He's out there putting, reading the greens for us. We show up. We get a little lunch. To be honest, I actually didn't get to eat lunch. I was on my way to the line for hot dogs. And then I got stopped. I know a bunch of people there. They're talking to me about my hat, my polo. They want to know where they can buy this, where they can listen. At least five people got business cards. And then my buddy Curry, him and his wife, Elise, they just had a baby. So meeting the baby. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, guys, go to your carts. And I was like,
Dude, you missed out. I don't know if I told you day of, but like, we, Jack, John, and I all got a dog. Like, we all were saying, one of the best dogs we've ever had. They were fucking, just like, it was like the size of two hot dogs, essentially.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I saw very them good. I'm sorry you missed it. I saw them on the grill while I was engaged in conversation. But it's all good. I mean, you know, it, I had some granola bars in my bag. I was able to stay nourished. But the tournament was a blast.
Great time.
It was a great turnout. I mean, do you know how many groups there were? Like 20 something?
There was probably right around 27 because we teed off on 9 and we had two groups on our hole, but when we got to 10, there was only one group on 10. So I think we were like the last group that had multiple people in it.
Right. But multiple groups started in it. When we started on 9, there was a group on right behind us.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like 1 through 9 had two groups on each tee. But then once you got to 10, there was only one group on the tee.
Oh, right. And you, after the tournament ended, because, you know, you live out in fucking bumfuck New York now, you had to bounce.
Yes.
A guy left his rangefinder. Left his rangefinder sitting in the cart.
I forgot you still have that, honestly, until you just said that.
Well, you would have remembered next time you went on the golf course and you were like, shit, why isn't it in this case? But no, yeah. The dinner was delicious. The food was great. It was a pretty big turnout. I don't remember, honestly, what the longest drive and close to the pin were. I know it wasn't us. One of the closest to pins was like 5 feet when I last looked at it, but it was a good turnout. I'll play a little clip from what you missed.
Let's go.
Boys, that, if you didn't hear that correctly, that was a 58 that the boys shot.
Victory!
There it is. 2-0 now as a team. The life in the rough, boys. Played in two tournaments. We've won two tournaments.
We played two tournaments in like the last month and we've won two tournaments, Brian. I don't know what's happening. We got to go on the circuit. Is there like a podcast tournament circuit?
Let me tell you, I don't know who would want it right now, Kev. It was awesome. Three different times we had three straight holes with birdies. We got on runs and we hit some huge putts. I mean, Jack had a huge 30-foot putt that nobody saw dropping. I mean, that was such a difficult putt. I had like five that were sick birdies. You had some fucking dope putts. John, I think, made one or two. It was a total team effort, and I know I just patted myself on the back, but
you made a bunch of putts. You did.
I think we did talk about this mid round. Like, we have the perfect scramble setup. Like, you, John, and Jack can piss on the ball off the tee. You guys can smoke the thing. I'm gonna find us fairways. Mm-hmm. I am extremely comfortable with my short game. Your iron play is so strong. It just like. We just had so many pieces that we had all the pieces that you need to make up a scramble. And I'd say out of 12 of those birdies, I would say 8 or 9 of them, no, maybe even 10 of them were on like our first or second putt. There were three holes that I remember. I did not bring my putter to the green.
Well, dude, we threw a couple of fucking darts, dude. Like, there were multiple greens that we walked up to that I was like, the first person's gonna make this putt,
right? And did.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we were vibing. We were buzzing out there that day. I don't know. We started off birdie, birdie, birdie. First three holes, we were feeling good.
Oh yeah. We felt unstoppable. And we were told that the winners from the year before were at 15 under. So we kept thinking that number. And you know, we definitely didn't think we won after we walked off the last hole. We parred the last hole.
We thought it would be close. We thought we would have been second place.
For sure. I definitely thought we were going to be in the top three. And we post the scores. Another team also came in at 58. We birdied the harder holes. So we won. You know, and that's how it goes in tournaments.
Yeah.
You go by difficulty. But no, it 58 is a strong score. 12 under, 12 under is a good score. It was only a par 70. So
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So we're missing out, you know, on an extra par 5. We're missing out on an extra par 5.
Dude, what? Quirky fucking course though, huh?
Very quirky. I didn't mind it though, because I put so much shape on my shot. We can just make it work. And whether it was 3-wood or long or a hybrid or something like that, like I felt real confident. And trust me, it's easy to feel confident after you're 3 under through 3 holes. But like, it just seemed like what we were doing was clicking. But also, like, I'd love to hear your opinion on this. There was definitely like, we parred 3 straight holes at one point, and I was like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. I started getting nervous too. Like, we all started, I think we just started so hot because we went birdie, birdie, birdie. And then those three pars were the next 3 holes. So I think we all came way back down to earth. One of those holes was that 50 yard approach shot that we all fucked up that we were talking about. And then we got to the next hole, which was a par 3. And the shot we had to use, like, wasn't even on the green. Like, we had to chip. And, like, we got out of there with a par. And then I think we went on another run of birdies after that.
Yeah. There were only a couple holes that we didn't have great shots on. But, I mean, hey, 6 pars at it and 12 birdies.
That's pretty fucking good. Dude, what I've been meaning to tell you, actually, I've never seen you hit your driver better than you were hitting it during the scrim.
The last couple weeks, I've been piping this thing. Let me tell you. Been putting it a little bit more forward in my stance, been having more meeting the ball on my way up with my swing as opposed to
have you been teeing it up higher too?
Nah, I don't think as much. It's more of I'm meeting the ball and advance on my way up as opposed to meeting the ball and continuing my swing.
Yeah, I bet that gives your like your club face more time to get around too. So it helps prevent your slice. Because like when you catch it really good, it doesn't even, it doesn't slice at all. You hit it dead dick straight.
Yeah, a lot less slice. God, isn't that the way it goes? It all starts to come together, and I can only log my handicap for 4 more weeks. I need more time.
Oh, I forgot about that. I think mine, didn't we say mine ends like end of October or something like that?
I think the end of October, yours ends. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That's brutal. But yeah, I've meant to tell you the day of, I don't even know if I did. I probably did, but yeah, you were fucking piping the ball. Cause like you were saying, like, I don't like John, Jack and I, like we hit the ball a pretty long way, but there was multiple times. Like, it's not like we bombed it past you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I've definitely been hitting the ball much better. And there were a couple holes where John was right next to me and he definitely typically hits the ball much farther than I do. So are you a part of the New York State Golf Association?
Yeah.
All right. So your season is April 15th to October 31st.
Yeah. The Metropolitan is probably closer to yours.
April 1st to November 14th.
Yeah.
Which is what it is in Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think because most of our areas is more upstate. I don't know where the Met section probably goes to like the top of Westchester. I don't really know.
Yeah. Rochester's the other one. And it's the same as yours.
Same as us. Yeah.
15th to the end of October.
Yeah. Damn. I forgot about that. So I really got to log some rounds.
You've got, about 18 days.
I think I have in my next 8 scores coming off too. I think I only have one that's being used.
Oh, dude, that's sick.
Let me.
You're gonna be so frustrated next year when the season starts,
dude. Oh my god, my handicap's gonna skyrocket. I was been thinking about this. I'm like, fuck, man, I'm playing way too good at the right time or at the wrong time right now.
Yeah, no, you'll stay in tune with the indoor golf over the off season. Right. I thought that it helped. I thought that there were some things that it made some bad habits. Translate. Well, no, yeah. It is still like a video game. So like you knew how to play it. So like you might hit a shot, like just swing down into the mat. It's, I don't know. But it's just it's a little bit different, you know, hitting off a mat than it is hitting off a grass. You can't just smash the club into the ground.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, winter in the Northeast, it's better than not swinging the club, as you obviously know. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hell yeah. What else do we have to talk about, Brian? You have anything else to talk about?
We will be uploading the winning team photo
to the
Instagram page. It looks great, guys. It looks great. We hope to hear some feedback about it. Upcoming, I've got a tournament at Blackledge this Saturday. The weather looks awful, but all 4 of us will be wearing Life in the Rough polos.
Okay. Who are you playing with?
My cousin John, my uncle John, and my cousin Jamie's husband Tommy.
So you're going to be playing with your cousin's husband? Isn't that the situation you were in last week? Kind of, you were with like your it was the niece's.
Hey, no, this guy's niece's boyfriend. No, but once you're married, it's much different. It just
you're in the family
when you're when your cousin marries someone, that doesn't make them related to you, even though
right.
Well, it does, but like, I guess he'd be my cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yes, guys.
I'm not a genealogist or whatever they call themselves.
But if we do have any genealogists out there or whatever it's called, and you'd like to sponsor the show, please reach out to us on all platforms. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.
I'm Kevin O'Coin.
And I'm Brian Ackley. And this has been Life in the Rough, the podcast.
See you.
Woo!